Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studio. Dick Newman has the day off today, and on this beautiful Saturday, wow. Great day to be outside today, that's for sure. Let's go through some football scores quick before we talk with head coach Tony Smith, who's in the studio. Dawson Boyd, a game you heard right here on Q92, is the Blackjack homecoming. They beat Canby 53-13 last night. Mineota 64, McCray nothing. It was Mineota's homecoming as well. Lakeview down Yellow Medicine East in Cottonwood. And that was in our district. And a few other scores here had Springfield. We saw them last week against Dawson Boyd. They're ranked number 2 in Class A. They beat Bold 54-6. Benson down West Central area 36-0. And Montevideo lost to New London Spicer last night 55-0. Those are just, I got to throw in my grandson's team, Foley, the Falcons. They beat St. Cloud Apollo 48-7 in Foley last night. All right, let's talk Lacapaire Valley football. Tony, good opponent last night with Murray County Central.
Yeah, very good opponent. Fast, physical, well coached. They have size up front. They got a, you know, a lot of those seniors now are 2 or 3 year starters, so they've seen a lot of different things and played a lot of football, been in a couple section finals, and I really think that that's their goal again this year, is find themselves against Springfield again down in Marshall. So talking with him a little bit before the game, he had just kind of mentioned, you know, kind of talking about Lacapaire and kind of where we're at and how things are going, and he said, you know, for us, we're finally getting ourselves healthy. And he and they were on full display last night for sure.
Yeah, I saw him in their season opener at Dawson Boyd. Blackjacks won 7-0. You could tell that that's a really good team there.
Yeah, that is. Like I said, they're big, they're physical, they're fast. They got, you know, kids at all different levels that are able to compete at a high level. So, you know, homecoming for us this week, and the pep fest and all that stuff was great. So it
were
was.
Were you out on the floor dancing? I think I saw you out there.
I was not on the floor dancing. There
all
was
the
Boyk was out there. Swatsky was out there. Biergun, Kittleson, I think were the guys, and the rest were gals that were out there dancing. But that was a. Probably the highlight of the there was also a fashion show that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that too. That was awesome.
But it was fun to be a part of, and it was a warm afternoon. You know, we got to the outside of the Powder Puff, and so it was a fun day. Yeah. And then we get to kick off, and we chose to receive the kick. And we got a nice, you know, they actually a little pooch kick, and Adrian Speck caught it. So we had ourselves in great field position. And then I believe in our second play, we were turned the ball over, and that's been a little bit of our MO this year, unfortunately, is too many giveaways and not enough takeaways. And so then a couple of plays later, they were up 8-0, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. By the end of the first quarter, it was 37-0, and we just, like we talked about, they're a good team, and we can't give them too many things, and unfortunately, as we went along in the week of practice, there were some things that we were focusing in on, and defensively especially, and we just weren't able to capitalize on that, and they're really kind of a mirror of us offensively in what they do, you know, running the option and getting a variety of different kids the ball. To be honest, we had seen them on film 3 separate times. Mm-hmm. We had probably seen them throw the ball 4 times in those 3 games.
Okay.
They probably threw the ball 6 or 7 times last night. And part of that was our design was we wanted to take away them running the football.
Right.
So we had seven, eight guys on the line of scrimmage trying to take away the their option, and then that left us open on some play action. So they had some big plays in the pass game too.
Okay. 64-6, I think it was, and So
let's see here. As far as passing goes, Jackson was 2 of 6 for 25 yards, and really those two completions came in the second half.
How's Jackson doing as a sophomore quarterback? You're down to your third-string quarterback. Seeing improvements and stuff like that with him?
Absolutely.
Looks like it.
Absolutely with him. We talked about it that first week where it was, okay, well, the eyes got big and he got in there. You're seeing some growth at times, and then there's some times it kind of reverts back, and it's just a matter of finding consistency. But more importantly, our group needs to be more consistent too. So it's a heavy load. I know I did a pregame last night for MCC, and they were talking about it, and I said, it's a little different to be a quarterback and get the ball and hand it off to a running back, and then your job is done. But in our case, it's get the ball. Now you got to decide if you're going to give it or keep it, or if you're going to keep it or pitch it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of there's a big learning curve that needs to happen. So no, he's most certainly made some improvements, and we'll keep working. As a group, we just need to continue to improve and focus on the little things and how can we get better.
Okay. Didn't mean to cut you off there with that.
Nope.
I was just thinking of Fern Olsen, the situation he's in. So
yep.
He looks like he's doing well.
Yeah, he's learning for sure. He's making strides. Okay. Tanner Tilbury had one catch for 17 yards. Nolan Smith had one catch for 8. And then on the ground, Gabe Lowry had 10 carries for 35 yards. Adrian Specht had 9 for 15. Gavin Mortensen had 5 for 33 and a touchdown. We ran a speed option, and here's kind of what we were talking about. Jackson made a nice pitch to Gavin, and down the left sideline he went for a touchdown. Jax Wells had two carries for 23 yards. And then Nicholas Hoffman, a freshman, he did some nice things defensively for us last night, stepping in, had one carry. Unfortunately, it was minus for minus 5 yards. Defensively, Adrian Specht was involved in 7 tackles. Jax Wells was involved in 6. Matthew Sherman with 3 and a tackle for loss. Gabe Lowry, 3 and a tackle for loss. Talon Kranz, he was involved, whether it was a solo or assist, he was involved in 9. Gavin Mortensen was involved in 5. He had 2 tackles for loss. Jackson Fernals had 2 tackles. And Nolan Smith was involved in 6 tackles. Nicholas Hoffman in 4. Kaysen Heineke in 1. And Tanner Tilbury had a tackle. When you're playing option teams, it's about assignments, and it's about, hey, who's got dive, who's got quarterback, who's got pitch, and those are some things that we worked on and during the week, and it's kind of interesting because you get focused in against those JVers, as I call them, the Badgers, and then all of a sudden it gets to Friday night, and all of a sudden that one key that you need to be working on starts to get a little muddy, and all of a sudden you're not doing what you need to do and are fitting where you need to be. So, it's one of those things where you want to give yourself a chance to win on any night, especially homecoming.
Right.
And obviously this was a tough draw playing the Rebels from MCC, but it is what it is, and we will. I had a good talk with Coach Freeman afterwards. About just kind of, hey, keep things going. I said, you stay healthy. He said, well, you get healthy. and I said, well, good luck to him. And he said the same. So it was that was a good way to end it.
Okay. Yeah, homecoming festivities all week at La Caprile Valley. And when I was in high school, it was a headache. It was a nightmare for my coaches. He always made that clear to us. He didn't like homecoming because it's a distraction to the game and stuff. But you guys handle it.
It is. There's a lot of stuff going on, basically from last Sunday all the way up till game time. You know, you want those kids to have the experience. You want them to be able to be with their friends and make the good choices that they need to make. Yeah. But, yeah, there's so many distractions, so many things going on, and it's a constant reminder of, hey, we got 2 hours here. Make sure that you're focused in on practice or game time or what have you. So, but, yeah, it's a good experience for everybody.
Yeah, I was out at La Caprala yesterday afternoon for the Pep Fest and stuff and Powder Puff football game. Who won that one, by the way?
But lo and behold, if the seniors didn't pull it out, they did. 14-6.
Okay, awesome. The other night at the volleyball match, so they had a Powder Puff boys volleyball match. That was pretty rowdy. I mean, there was a lot of excitement on that one.
There was a lot of, and the seniors won that one as well, believe it or not. So,
yeah, good memories.
Yes, very good memories.
All right. Well, let's talk about next week.
All right. Well, so we are not going to be going to MCC for JV on Monday. Zach Stelter and I had talked on Wednesday and Thursday and just kind of said, you know, to give MCC a chance to find somebody else instead of waiting till Friday. Just, you know, on Tuesday practice, we had 19 eligible bodies. Wednesday and Thursday, we were up to 24. Unfortunately, Douglas Bruner wasn't able to suit up last night for us, and he's been very, very good offensive lineman and defensive lineman, so that hurt. But and I just didn't want to have that opportunity of if we get a couple other kids go down, now all of a sudden now we're not able to play, and that actually did happen last night. Tucker Lyons went out with a rib injury, so I'm not really sure where that status is. I'll have to check on him this weekend. But, you know, so we're not going to do that. And then on Tuesday, the junior high plays, and the junior high's been having a very good season. They've got a couple of games left. And then Friday night, we head down to Minneota to play the Vikings.
Okay. And another challenge there.
Another big challenge. Yes, another big challenge.
Yep. I think they're three-time defending state champs, and you know, they're playing well again this year. So what can you tell us about Minneota?
Well, it's kind of almost like you just press rewind and then play from year to year. They're going to be big and physical up front. They've got a really nice quarterback this year. They're going to run the ball. They're going to make you defend all 53 yards, the width of the field, and they do a nice job of mixing that up. And then defensively, they're just fundamentally sound. They don't try to do too much. You know, there are four guys up front are going to rush, and every the other seven are going to be in their spots, and they're going to make you earn every yard.
Right. Yeah, what is there, three games in the regular season left?
Three regular season games, yes.
Minneota next week, and then?
And then we go to Canby.
Go to Canby.
Okay. And then on that Wednesday of MEA, we host YME to end the regular season.
Okay. All right. All right, real good, Tony. Well, thanks for coming in again.
You bet.
On a beautiful Saturday morning,
beautiful
isn't it?
Saturday, yes,
time
correct.
To get some yard work done?
I think we might have to be outside a little bit today doing some things.
Okay. Thanks, Tony, for coming in.
Thank you.
Head coach Tony Smith of the La Caprala Valley football team. We'll take a break. We'll talk cross country. I visited with John Sherb yesterday because this morning they're up in Grand Forks, North Dakota in a cross country meet. So we'll hear from John here right after this.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Transition into fall with sizzling savings this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Kip has frozen choice beef brisket, just $5 per pound. Bungard's butter, $4 per pound. Perfect for stocking up for winter. The nights are getting cooler, so stock up and save at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and they are closed Sunday and Monday.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
The award-winning Neander Art Crawl is a free self-guided tour of artist studios featuring over 40 local artists from the Upper Minnesota River Valley, from Granite Falls to Clinton. It's happening Friday, October 3rd, noon to 6, Saturday, October 4th, 9 to 6, and Sunday, October 5th, 9 to 4. You can visit artists in their own environment who celebrate a lifestyle that represents the small, handmade, personal, and local culture of the area. Complete information is available online at artsmeander.com. Brochures are also available in your local Chamber of Commerce offices and at many area businesses.
Monica, you redid your store.
I sure did, Paul Rimmel. Come on in. The same dark chocolate sea salt caramels are there, and each room is full of color for fall fashions. Come on in and check out my new shoe room. My vacation room is full of vibrant colors, new jewelry, boots, shoes, accessories. Come on in and check me out.
Fall into fashions at Monica's Apparel and Accessories on
Chestnut Street. Open Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. And like me on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lockapaw Valley Dawson Boyd Cross Country with head coach John Sherb. And John, it's been a beautiful week for weather, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. We're finally getting something that's balanced so these kids can actually, you know, have something that seems like a fall.
Yep. All right. Well, I think just one meet to talk about, right?
Yeah, we got the one meet. We ran in Granite on Monday.
Monday meet.
Yeah, okay. Monday meet, which I'm not a big fan of, but again, oh well, everybody else got in the same boat. It's just kids, they come back off a weekend, you know what their mindset is and where they at, what they ate over the weekend, what they sleep, you just don't know.
But yep.
Again, it is what it is. You compete and see what you can do. That's the way I look at it.
All right, how'd you do in Granite Falls on Monday then?
Granite was good. Like I said, it was good. It's a course that's a little soft in some spots. It's also a chance to see a lot of teams we haven't seen, you know, a lot of conference schools we haven't seen all year. So it's kind of nice to see, okay, how far back are we? Are we close enough or who we're in front, just to kind of figure where young and old. So it was good that way. It's not a very fat, long meet because, again, with only four races, so it combines down pretty nice. They ran a junior high girls first. They ran about 2,200-meter course through that. Our top runner there was Chelsea Clark. She was seventh at a time of 10:39. Then we had Skylar Stock right behind her in eighth at 10:44. Then in ninth was Cambry Larson at 10:45. Macy Claven was 21st at 12:16. Emerson Erdman was 13th at 10:54. Ainsley Grunholz was 18th at 11:48. So, again, the girls are learning and getting better. It just, again, the biggest thing is, you know, they're learning and they're all over the place with having good races, bad races, average race, but what do you expect when you're running this inexperienced and young of a crew in the 7th and 8th grade? Because majority of them are 7th graders, and they're doing very well, and that's what's fun. They're just trying to get a balance. So, and they did. I think we were the only one that had a full team. I know a couple of usually have a full team. They moved up to varsity just to see what they can handle the varsity distance, but our crew just, you know, did what they needed to do and did a nice job. Then the boys, they ran right after that. They ran the same course as the girls. Our top runner in there was Uriah Specht. He was 7th at 9:18, 27th at 12:10. So, again, our junior high kids continue to grow. Like I said, some days it's baby steps. Some days it don't go forward at all. But, again, we are growing, and just you got to like the way the kids, again, the fight, and they're working, and they're working hard, which is good to see. Varsity girls, it was going to be a good varsity race for us on the girls' side. We haven't seen Canby all year. You know, that's a team that everybody in the conference is always just chasing, so it kind of gives us an idea where we sit with them. Then also we haven't seen Lakeview. We haven't seen Prinsburg. So we haven't, and Tracy Miller. So the majority of the teams we haven't seen. So it was a good race to kind of figure out where we're at with that bunch of you know, how we fit in with them. And, you know, that's, you know, and I thought, you know, where we're at, we'll just compete and see what we have. And I thought the kids ran well in spots. We had some spots we're still struggling at, and that's something we've got to figure out, and some of the spots we're struggling if we want to compete with the Canby. It's just like I said, we just got to do a better job at that as we go on. But hopefully that, you know, with getting a chance to see them, see where we're at there. Bryn Glago is our top runner there. They ran that 5K course. She was at 21:42. Looked good early, hit a little bit of windage, but again, it's we've got to expand those lungs on her to be able to get her back to breaking that 20-0, which she can. It just, again, it's gonna, we just got to get with that asthma and everything else. The balance is going better with her, but fourth overall with her. Then Chloe Glege was 12th at 22:42. Laura Schraer was 21st at 23:23. Sadie Rosendahl was 25th. At 24:12, and then we had Harper Grunholz at 28th at 24:41. Talia Hursom was 29th at 24:47. Alyssa Sawinski was 35th at 25:25, and Morgan Anderson was 46th at 26:41. And then we McShay Botham at 62nd at 27:58. You know, again, our pack is decent. The pack has got to move up again. Like, you know, again, I keep preaching this over and over. It's like a broken record. You keep playing it, but that's where we're kind of hurting ourselves. Is again, is those pack has got to get closer to Bryn and move up. And again, but it's there. It's just, again, we just haven't been able to put it together. But we're still competing very well, and that's all you can ask too, is just see what we have scoring wise. Canby won with 50. We are second with 64. 14 points is not a real big spread. And maybe Canby had some runners gone too sick or whatever, didn't have good races too, you don't know. But again, 14 points can be made up real fast. Like I told Bryn, I said, if you can close 17 seconds on their top gal, that's a two-point swing. Now we're starting to really start to get that thing close. And so we're there. Monty was third at 67. They ran really, really well there too with their crew. Then Prinsburg Central Christian was 89. Morris was with 94. And then McCray at 154 and 6. So there was 12 teams there, but there was only 6 complete on the girls' side. So, like I said, just, again, we keep working and keep moving, we'll be fine. It's just we've got to keep that eye on the target, our eye on that prize of what we want to be, and that's going to be the question, is can we get to that level?
Right.
So that's where that's at. So that was good. Boys ran the same course as what the girls did. Again, same thing we said about on the girls' race, same thing as the seeing the teams we haven't seen in a while. So that's kind of the part we're at. I thought ran really, really well in a lot of spots. Colin Rosendahl was our top runner. He was fifth overall, 18:40. Looked very good the second half. We've got to get his first mile a little quicker because he's coming back so strong that he has wasted energy at the end. That he could, at that finishing pace, he could go another half a mile and be fine. So we've got to turn that up a little bit faster, that first mile in there. But again, ran really well. Then also we got Tanner Callis back in there. He's been up and down with that knee a little bit. But still, he was seventh at 18:48. Maybe a little hotter in his first part of the race a little bit and kind of bottom a little bit in the end. But still is that process of going. Then we had Matthew Bothan. He was 13th at 19:38. Landon Keeman was 17th at 19:50. We had Kentaro Sorrell at 40th at 20:55. Brody Nelson was a 45th at 21:11. Colton Heineke was 49th at 21:38. Aaron Will was 52nd at 21:57. Eddie 6th at 22:48. So again, it's growing, but again, you know, we keep talking about, we got young kids in a lot of spots, inexperienced kids in a lot of spots. So I think, you know, we're growing. It's just unfortunate, again, where we got beat up in the middle and really got hammered in some spots there, and that hurt us. Canby won it with 52. Then Monty was second at 78. We were third at 82. Ortonville was fourth at 107. Lakeview at 150. Morris, 185. Central Minnesota at 189. McCray, 196. Tracy Miller, 197. Bull, 220. Wyoming, 295, and Border West at 309. So, like I said, it's just good to get finally nice, too. It wasn't that hot. The only bad thing was, unfortunately, the golf course decided to burn some trees up there, and unfortunately we had some smoke going through the one section of the course. But that's so, like I was giving Bryn a hard time. It's bad enough you got to run with your ass, but then they add smoke to it. That makes it even more challenging for you.
Well,
So that's just the way it is. And unfortunately, right. That's what happened. But again, kids competed, moved on, and see we get in. So, you know, we can just try to grow and move on.
All right. Well, actually, this morning you're up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and you're taking the, when it came up last night, when's the race start up there, and how big is it? There are a lot of teams up there, John?
I think it's the biggest they've gone now. This is the fourth year, I think, of doing it now. It's the biggest yet, and it's been bigger before. It's getting bigger now. It's just turned into a massive race up there. So I know the JV races, they're looking at having two JV races, just it's that many kids. So,
oh, wow.
It's a huge meet up there. I know we go up Friday night and stay in Fargo just to kind of go out to Pizza Ranch stuff. We're trying to do some team bonding, a little bit working, you know, and just to relax and then eat breakfast tomorrow and head up there up to Grand Forks and then race. Our first race will be the junior high kids at 11 o'clock. And it'll be a busy day, and it'll go all the way through. I think our last race could go to about 4:30, so it's a lot of events going on. We'll be in the Class A division, the smaller division, and they got two divisions. They barely easy with the number of teams they could have. It could be up to where they could probably go three divisions if it's that big.
Okay.
So that'll be good for us to go up there. And that will be, I think they got something on the website, on the Border Battle website. I think there's some live streaming going on or some video. I don't know, video or something. They've got some stuff going on. There's to be live action throughout the races, so you could very easily follow and see the finishing of race and see how what the places are online.
Okay. Is that a course that you ran on when you were at North Dakota State running for the Bison?
Nope. When I ran for NDSU, we ran up there. I got a golf course up there we ran on. We did not run the park. We ran on a golf course up there. I can't remember the name of that one, but we ran on a golf course.
Oh, so this is in a park there, so. Today.
This is a park. Yep, it's okay. In a park right next to the Red River. Gorgeous view on the side, especially the finish is really, really gorgeous finish. And so you got to like that. So, no, it's nothing. I can't tell you how tough it is. It's nothing hilly. It's a pretty flat, movable course. There's some rolls in there, but it'll be a quick course. And like I said, the teams will see Bowman on the boys and girls side from North Dakota had won. Seems like umpteen million state titles in North Dakota, and they've been loaded all the time, so you're going to see them. Then you get into the big AA schools of Grand Forks Central and Red River, who we've seen already. So, and Moorhead will be up there, too. So it's going to, and one of our former runners who runs for Moorhead, Brooklyn Sterrerud, she'll be running up there, too, for Moorhead. So we'll get a chance to talk to her family and see her up there run, too. So
nice.
Kind of nice that way.
Good. All right, John. Well, thanks for your report. What do you got coming up this week, I should say?
Next week we've got, we're Monty on Tuesday. We're basically now one meet a week now. We're all done with the doubles now. We'll go Tuesday, and then we kind of keep training for it because we aren't that far off from the conference meet and the section meet, and so things have gone fast.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, well, good luck today up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and, you know, if I find the website that's at, well, I'll pass along here before we end the coaches show, so... we can watch the results. So, thanks.
Perfect.
Yep, thanks, John.
Thank you.
Yep. John Sherb, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lockapaw Valley Cross Country Team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, September 26th through Monday, September 29th in Theater 1. It's Gabby's Dollhouse, animated fun for the whole family, and it's rated G. That's Gabby's Dollhouse in Theater Number 1. In Theater 2, Held Over, A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, rated R. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand. The Zor Mission Circles sale will be held today at Zor Lutheran Church by Salt Lake. Bake sale starts at 7 p.m. Potato and cream-filled lefse will be on sale along with kringla, caramel rolls, and donuts. Auction will start at 7:30 with hand-stitched quilts, large and crib size, pillowcases, towels, and rugs. And they'll end the evening with a pie and ice cream and coffee social all at the Little Country Church near Salt Lake, Zor Lutheran. And that's the Zor Mission Circle sale this evening. So make plans to be there. Today, it's the annual lunch and baked goods and produce sale from 10 to 1 at Nicolai Lutheran Church in Canby. Enjoy soup, ham sliders, dessert, and a beverage. Served with the suggested price of $10 for the meal. 507-223-5223. That's today at Nicolai Lutheran Church in Canby. There will be a benefit for Andrea Rademacher, daughter of Alan and Joyce Reynolds, today from 4 to 8 p.m. Prairie Ballroom at the Red Barn in Rosen. Free will meal will be served. There will be a silent auction.
Andrea was diagnosed with cancer and is doctoring weekly for the side effects of chemo and radiation, and all funds will help with ongoing medical expenses. Again, this benefit for Andrea Rademacher today, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Prairie Ballroom at the Red Barn in Rosen. On Sunday, September 28th, the Area Cancer Transportation Fund benefit will be held at the Appleton VFW from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Enjoy omelets, hash browns, toast, and a beverage. Takeouts will be available. Sunday, September 28th, the date of the third annual St. John's and Bethlehem Turkey Dinner at the Revillo Community Center. It will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On the menu, smoked or roasted turkey, real mashed potatoes, roasted baby reds, cranberry relish, and all the trimmings. This is a free will donation event sponsored by members of St. John's, Revillo, and Bethlehem Milbank with supplemental funds from Thrivent Financial. And that's coming up on Sunday, September 28th at the Revillo Community Center. The Mid-Coto Sportsman's Club presents Sporting Clays, America's fastest-growing shotgun sport, on September 28th, 1 to 5 p.m. at the Mid-Coto Sportsman's Club Nassau. 13-station course, 50 targets per round, and novice to experts are welcome. For information, contact Colin Tilbury at 320-668-2644. And this coming up on Sunday the 28th, 1 to 5 at the Mid-Coto Sportsman's Club in Nassau.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Lac La Parle Valley volleyball right now with head coach Amber Lee. And good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, a couple matches we need to talk about, Tuesday and Thursday, I believe.
Yeah, Tuesday we were in Lakeview and Thursday we hosted Canby at Lac La Parle.
Okay. Well, actually, you weren't in Lakeview on Tuesday, and Morgan and Morgan took over for you.
Yeah, they did. My daughter Jalen plays for Crown College, and she was up in Morris Plains, so I was up there watching her.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have a Jalen report at the end of the volleyball report here. That's what we instituted last Saturday, so looking forward to that again. All right, tell us how the girls did on Tuesday then.
On Tuesday against Lakeview, they lost 3. Couple really close matches again. I did go back and watch, and they're just a couple of little errors, but we're right there. So they lost 11-25, 22-25, and 22-25. Stats on that game, ace serves, Maya Swatsky had 1, Ashton Shelstead had 2, Marley Ludvigson had 1, and Maya Mortensen had 2. Digs, Peyton Sachs had 7, Maya Swatsky had 3, Ashton Shelstead had 6, Marley Ludvigson had 6, Maya Mortensen had 10, Carson Whitnable had 3, and Callie Kahn had 3. Assists, Maya Swatsky had 12, Ashton Shelstead had 4, Marley Ludvigson had 8. For kills, Callie Kahn had 8, Abby Amland had 9, Carson Whitnable had 5, Faith Meyer had 2, Marley Ludvigson had 1, and Maya Swatsky had 1. And for blocks, nobody had any blocks that night, so that was kind of different. Usually we have at least a couple in that column.
Yeah, really, yeah. Anything else on the Lakeview match there?
No, like I said, I wasn't there. Yep. They played really well the second 2 sets, and like I said, we were right there with them and just couldn't make it over that final hump. So
okay. All right, and then, of course, it's homecoming week. It was homecoming week for Lac La Parle Valley this past week, and a lot of excitement in the gym on Thursday, especially after your volleyball match with the Powder Puff. That's what you call it, right?
Yeah, that was sure fun. Yep, I did. It was very entertaining. A lot of energy, and we had a great student section, so that just made it even more exciting.
That's right. Yeah, when you get a state-ranked team coming into your gym, maybe a little more motivation on the girls' side, huh? I thought they played well the second set.
Yeah, we were right there the second set. I really would have liked to have got that one, but I can't complain or say anything bad because we played really, really well against them. And they are state ranked, and, you know, and we are very, very young and very growing and stuff. So, no, it was a lot of fun.
Yep. Well, tell us about the Lancer game then.
All right. We did lose in 3. We lost the first set 9-25. We lost the second set 24-26. Mm. We lost the third set 15-25. Mm-hmm. Digs for the night, Peyton Sachs had 5. Maya Swatsky had 4. Ashton Shelstead had 7. Maya Mortensen had 4. Solo blocks, Sophia Leah had 1 and Kelly Kahn had 1. Ace serve, this is where we really went to town. Maya Swatsky had 5 ace serves. Marley Ludvigson had 1. Maya Mortensen had 2.
Kills, Abby Amlin had 5. Carson Wettnebel had 5. Kelly Kahn had 3. And Faith Meyer had 1. Assists for the night, Maya Swofsky had 6. Marta Ludvigsen had 7. And Ashton Shelstead had 1.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that second set, 26-24. Back and forth it went. You had your opportunities. And Maya Swofsky, I think that was a set where she served like 3 or 4 ace serves in a row, didn't she?
Yep, that was the one, yeah.
Coach Janae Wright had to call a timeout. She wasn't too happy. And then Maya was just finding the right spot, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. And Candy Lancers had a few subs in there, and they couldn't stop it, so... No, that was super exciting, and they just fed off of that. The team did, and they just kept the fire burning. It was good.
Yeah, who played well for you guys Thursday night, would you say?
You know, I always look at the team as a whole, and that's how we play as a whole. There are no all-star players on our team. There's nobody that is, you know, getting 15 kills a night or anything spectacular. We are just kind of, I wanted to say, like a small-town team, and we come together and we play really well together.
Now, that's well put there, Amber. Good. Let's talk about you mentioned the energy in the gym that night, and I commented on the broadcast all night the energy that the Loughborough student section was bringing. There, it looked like the whole school was there.
That was the biggest student section I've seen in a long time, and I've been to a lot of Loughborough Valley sports, and that was so much fun to see. It reminded me back in my day when we used to play and the bleachers were full, and they were loud and excited, and they cheered, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Tell our listeners what went on after your match then. What went on there with the boys?
They did a powder puff volleyball game, so the senior boys versus the junior boys. And, of course, the senior boys did win.
Okay. Yeah, as I was putting my radio equipment away, the gym was almost louder than before. I mean, it was unbelievable, all the students and parents and grandparents that stuck around to watch that.
Yeah, there was quite a few that stayed and watched, and it was just a good entertainment for everyone. The junior boys had a lot of trouble with their rotation, staying in rotation, so, I mean, there was a few calls there that, you know, yeah. And waiting for the whistle, they were just a little too excited, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, what's coming up this week for you guys then?
This week we play Tuesday, I believe. Let me check here. Hang on.
I think it's...
CMCS?
Yep. Central Minnesota Christian, yep.
CMCS, we're at CMCS on Tuesday, and then Thursday we are at home versus Ortonville. And Thursday, October 2nd, will be our Dig Pink night at home, and then also our youth volleyball night. So we're going to showcase what our youth volleyball has learned in the last couple weeks, and then honor those with cancer. So.
Okay, yep. And I'll be out there on Thursday broadcasting that match as well. So looking forward to that. All right, as we do with you, Amber, since your daughter's playing college volleyball at Crown, we're going to get a Jalen Lee update. How'd she do this week?
They played in Morris on Tuesday, and they lost in 4. They had a really, really fun first match, and then the last 3 kind of dwindled a little bit. And then this week, or this weekend, Friday, they're in New Ulm versus Martin Luther, and Saturday in Mankato versus Bethany.
All right. You and your husband, Ryan, are getting the miles in then, right?
We sure are. There's no place else I'd rather be, though.
That's right. You do a great job. So, do you have a report on the JV this past week? Or?
I know in Candy, the JV lost in 3, and the C-Sky tied. So, they won 1 and lost 1. We didn't have time for a third set there.
Okay. All right. Real good, Amber. Well, thanks a lot for the report, and we'll see you Thursday.
Sounds great. Thanks, Paul.
Yep. Amber Lee, head coach of the Loughborough Valley Volleyball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more to Coach's Show after this.
All right, race fans, come on down to Madison Speedway for our season finale this weekend. Friday night at 7 o'clock and Saturday night at 6 o'clock for our Madtown Showdown. I'd like to thank the sponsors right now, Cargill and Spuds One Stop for sponsoring the Madtown Showdown. All 7 classes in action. Once again, the green flag flies at 7 o'clock Friday and 6 o'clock on Saturday for Madison Speedway's last night of the year. Remember, I am Scotty Iona. We will see you at the track.
Farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. At Haugen Insurance Agency, we understand the unique challenges you face every day. With our many years of experience, we are able to assess your needs and match the right coverage with your operation, whether you're a small family farm or a large operation. Our dedicated team is here for you, providing support and expertise every step of the way. Protect your crops and your livelihood with confidence. Visit us on the web at HauganCropINS.com to learn more. Haugen Insurance Agency, a farmer's helping hand.
Paul Ramo back here in the studio with the Coach's Show, and I'm going to be giving the girls' tennis report because Coach Dr. Brant Hacker and the girls' tennis team, they're up in Alexandria today for the conference tournament. On a, what a great day to play tennis today up in Alex. So Dr. Hacker just texted me, and so I got the results this past week from the girls' tennis competition. So on Monday, they lost to Benson KMS 6-1. Reese Kuzman won for Lacapra Valley Dawson Boyd at number 3 singles, 6-1, 6-4, over her Benson KMS opponent. And then on Tuesday, they beat YME 4-3. They swept in doubles action. The lone single victory came from Greta Hacker at number 4 singles. Doubles teams, number 1 double team of Molly Halverson and Cameron Olson beat their opponent, and Brianna Borsted and Aiden Bond at number 2 doubles won, and Kenna McTai and Riley Clark, they won at number 3 doubles against YME on Tuesday. Then Thursday, they hosted Sauk Center and beat the Main Streeters 5-2. They swept in singles Alexis Olson at number 1 singles, Maya Vergy at number 2, Reese Kuzman at number 3 singles, and Greta Hacker at number 4 singles all won their matches. In doubles action, the team of number 1 doubles team of Molly Halverson and Cameron Olson won 7-5, 6-4 over their Sauk Center opponent. So that's how the Lacapra Valley girls tennis team did this past week. And again, they are in at the conference meet up in Alexandria. It actually started at 9 o'clock this morning. And you heard Coach John Sherb mention the cross-country team. They're at Grand Forks, North Dakota. They run at 11 o'clock, and it's called the Border Battle, I guess. So good luck to the Lacapra Valley Dawson Boyd cross-country teams today. And that wraps up the Coach's Show for another Saturday. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and enjoy your day.
The time now at 9:48. Continue.